of all of the Mosaic and biblical law, Israel unquestionably struggled with two. That is, two rules, two sets of laws that they just could not exactly figure out how to enforce. And the one was cleanliness. Whether you've eaten something that is cleanly or whether you have touched something that is or is not unclean. But the other one, the one that they struggled with most mightily, was how to behave on the Sabbath. Now, this has not actually changed thousands of years have gone by, and Israel and Judaism in general still struggles with the question of what is the best way to understand proper behavior on the Sabbath. Should you ever find yourself in Israel on the Sabbath, I encourage you not to go into any tall buildings. Or if you have to go into a tall building, whatever you do, don't try to go to an upper floor on the tall building. And the reason for this is, in Israel, it's a law that on the Sabbath, all of the elevators in all of the hotels and high-rises and office buildings stop on every single floor. The buttons are turned off. You just get in and, boy, if you're headed up to the 25th floor, it's going to take you a while. I mean, nowhere near as long as it would take you if you were walking up the steps, but it's going to take you a while. And the reason for this is the question of work. Of course, some people push buttons for a living. I mean, that's what you do. That's your job. In fact, once upon a time, people operated elevators as a job. And so Israel said, well, operating an elevator and pushing buttons are both clearly work. So you can't do work on the Sabbath. So, elevators stop on every single floor. Now, you or I might say, that seems like an awful lot more work. I'm having to stand there, I'm waiting for the door to open, close, open, close, open, close. I could just push the button for 19, and I would, you know, it'd be a lot easier. Well, Israel still sort of struggles with the concept of how does one obey God's commandment not to work on the Sabbath? When Jesus is accosted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they say, we noticed that your disciples were out in the fields and they were harvesting. That's what they're accusing the disciples of having done. They're harvesting. They weren't harvesting. They were walking through a field of grain. I don't know about you all, but I like to garden. I like to be out in my garden. I like to enjoy the things that I've grown. My wife and I, we were out in the garden just yesterday, and as we walked past my raspberry bushes, I noticed I actually had two completely red raspberries. I said, look at that, we've got raspberries. And my wife and I, we both stopped, we picked one and we ate them. Were we harvesting? No. That's what the disciples are doing. They're walking through a field of grain, and they're snacking. That's it, they're snacking. They basically unwrapped a snack. But the Pharisees and Sadducees were so excited at the opportunity to find any excuse to discredit Jesus that they were willing to, I'm not going to say bend the meaning of the law, but certainly push the boundaries of how one might interpret the law. And in doing so, they accused Jesus and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath. And then they take and they follow him into a sanctuary, of a place of worship, a synagogue. And there in that synagogue is an individual who's clearly suffering. And they're waiting and watching to see if Jesus is going to heal this suffering individual. Because, of course, healing must surely be work. The way Jesus does it, it seems like there certainly isn't a lot of effort involved. He just says, be this, and, you know, suddenly whatever body part he says, be this, it is. But they watch him. And he knows they're watching. And he knows that in their hearts, in the end, they don't really care about keeping God's commandment. They just care that they get to sort of beat him up with the rule book. And so he questions them. Is it better righteous, holy, to do good on the Sabbath or evil? Of course, they can't very well say, well, we think it's better to do evil on the Sabbath because that would make them look like idiots. Or they can't also say, well, it's better to do good on the Sabbath because then, of course, they're going to have to agree with Jesus' decision to heal the individual. So they just stare at him. My kids do that sometimes. When I ask them a question that I already know the answer to, and they know I know the answer to, and I ask them the question, they just sort of look at me like, well, you know what I'm going to say. Do I have to say it? It's usually when they're in trouble. Same thing. So Jesus goes ahead and he heals the person anyway. So great was their hatred for Jesus. So great was their desire to bring him ruin. That it says, and they went out and immediately began to conspire with the Herodians. So let's unpack that for a moment. Who were the Herodians? The Herodians were those who worked with and for and supported Herod, the puppet king, if you will, of Israel. The Herodians hated the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, with a burning passion, hated the Herodians because Herod was conspiring with the Romans. I don't know of a division in the world that we live in right now that is sufficiently bad enough that I could imagine these two categories of people coming together for a common cause. This is so far beyond Democrats and Republicans working together. This is like the Russians and the Ukrainians decided to team up against somebody. That is how much they hated each other. So the fact that then they go out to conspire with the Herodians against Jesus lets you know that there was nothing in their hearts that ever cared about the Sabbath in the first place. All they cared about was scoring some points on their enemy. And Jesus makes a very important distinction. And he says, don't you know that humankind was not made for the Sabbath? The Sabbath was made for humankind. I'll give you a really great example of the Sabbath being made for humankind and the way the church has dealt with that. That's the fact that we are today in church worshiping. It's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. It's not the Sabbath. That's the seventh day of the week. And our Seventh-day Adventists will make a lot of that. So why is that? Well, there's actually an answer to that question. Once upon a time, Christians were just another part of the Jewish church. And so on Saturday, we would go to synagogue. And in that synagogue, we would worship with all of our other fellow Jews. And we would worship God. And, you know, we were Jews just the same as they were. We just believed that the Messiah had already come. And in order to have a worship service that meant something extra to us, we would get up extra early on the first day of the week, and we would gather, oftentimes in secret places. We would gather in catacombs. We would gather in secret hidden glades. We would gather in places where we could go and not be persecuted. And we would worship on Sunday morning. Why did we worship on Sunday morning? Because, of course, Jesus is resurrected on Sunday morning. At some point, the Christian church was no longer welcome in the synagogue. So what did we do? We kept worshiping on Sunday morning. Why wouldn't we? It was a good day to worship. It was the day that we had set aside to worship. It was the day that Jesus had risen from the grave. And so we said, this will be our Sabbath. Because, of course, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. If that's when he wants us to worship, that's when we'll worship. If that's the day he wants to be our day of rest, that's the day we'll take for rest. Because God didn't say, boy, I really love this seventh day off thing. I love having a day off. I think I'm going to make some people so that they'll have to do that too. No. He looked at humanity and went, those people look like they could use a rest. Those people are going to need a break. Those folks are going to need to take one day out of their week and not work. By the way, Modern medicine completely agrees with this concept. The taking a day to completely rest and refrain from doing hard labor and work and to actually do positive things, it's marvelous for the human body. Which, of course, God made, so he kind of knew that going into it. So we are those who follow the Lord of the Sabbath. We are those who worship on a Sunday morning, not the seventh day of the week, but the first day of the week. We are those who follow the Lord of the Sabbath because we know that he actually cares about us. And isn't that the whole point of what Jesus was doing? He could have waited until Monday morning to have healed that fellow's hand. I mean, who knows how long that guy's hand had been withered. Chances are, one more day would not have made a huge impact on his life. But Jesus didn't want to wait, because he wanted to bring wholeness as fast as possible. He wanted to bring healing as quick as possible. He wanted to express his divine love the moment that he could. The Sabbath is God's way of telling us he loves us. It is God's way of saying, you need this rest. You need this break. You need this. And it is, of course, one of God's laws. Many of God's laws are given to us because we need those laws for our own safety. God says, my laws are good for you. Follow my laws. God gives us laws like, you know, don't kill people. I think we can all completely agree that we really like that law. It's not a burden that we have to carry. Oh, no, I guess we don't get to kill people. No. We're thankful because we know it's for our own good. It's for our benefit. It's for our well-being. Same is true for God's law about the Sabbath. So however you observe the Sabbath, on a Sunday, on a Saturday, I've had work schedules before where my Sabbath had to be on a Wednesday. Whatever it is that you do, do it with the knowledge that you are doing it because God wants to give you peace. God wants to give you wholeness. God wants to give you well-being. God wants to assure you of his presence. As we gather together today in the midst of worship, in the midst of remembering one of our young people being confirmed, who comes to you all to make public profession of her faith, it is important for us to remember that the faith that we make profession in is a faith in a God who loves us, who cares for us, who wants the best for us. Even when the forces of this world stand against that which is good for us, God will always stand for that which is best for us. Amen.